Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics.
Gentlemen, welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. It's me, it's Mr. FSP, coming to you live and direct from the West Coast. I'm West Coast, and I'm back in the building. I know JT and the rest of the crew let you down last week when they didn't do a show, but you know, I'm here, Mr. FSP. And on today's show, I got a lot of information to hand out to you. I make my return after a two-week working vacation. I really had to work. It wasn't a vacation. But I want to talk a lot about football. It's dominating the headlines right now. The NFC playoff picture and all these other things. I'm going to talk about my guy, yes, Manny Pacquiao, who I did pick to have a good fight against Juan Marquez, Manuel Marquez, whatever his name is, that fell on his face. You know, I might talk about it. It depends. Yesterday I got roasted because I couldn't do much. I was with my wife. And the No Chaser show guys, they ripped into me. They're lucky I didn't have access to the board. I would have cut the show off. My co-host right now is on the line. But let me finish introing the show. Jerry and I will discuss the playoff picture and our predictions. And we will discuss heavily fantasy football because I am in several championships. I know that somebody else on this line isn't, but we'll talk about that later. Call in, hang out, be with us. It is what it is. If you want to call in, chime in, give us your feedback, or, you know, your thoughts on any subject matter. You can dial 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. And we'll get you on the air. Without further ado, I'll bring in the Blanche Devereaux husband, the mama's family, Vern. I'm talking about ATM money. The guys that I whooped last week in fantasy football and kicked them out the playoffs. What's going on, guy?
How are you doing, Mr. Gardner? I know you got to be feeling yourself today, but that's okay. I understand, you know, when you make all those movies and you're a famous guy, I'm talking about Too Sweet. I understand.
I
understand how you may feel. So congratulations. This is your year. Last year was my year, and you have a very good shot to make a lucrative killing in several leagues. So I have tipped my hat to you. You just say you're going to make a strong comeback, and boy, you have. And when I say boy, I mean it's not a derogatory term. I'm just saying, boy, you sure have made a big splash this year. It's probably one of your better years since I've been playing fantasy football with you, so.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It reminds me of the glory days when I was winning championships left and right. But
that probably has to do with taking the advice of the master, but that's for
there you go. I'll just throw you under the bus for yesterday's activity.
Let me put it this way. One of the things I told you for the last two seasons, and you were steadfast on it, and it's still, I think you're convinced now. Ryan Matthews is a total bust. Plain and simple. Total bust.
I got you.
Yeah, okay.
I got you. I mean, he didn't make or break me this year either. So,
yeah, but
you know,
you were insisting on playing some at some critical times, and I told you don't do it because he never panned out.
I still won that game.
Well, yeah.
By the way, since this isn't gonna be a fantasy football heavy show,
mm-hmm.
What happened in ESPN, dude? Well, I mean, you had that fourth spot locked up, so the master couldn't even take his own advice. What happened?
Well, I did take my advice. I put some players in place that I thought would work, and it didn't work out. It happened. Besides being able to have the knowledge, I also said, if you had listened to my show last week, it also has to do with a little luck. So besides putting the players in place, you have to have a little luck to get to the championship, or even to get to the playoffs. So throughout the season, so I didn't. This is probably one of my worst seasons I've had. I'm in no playoffs anywhere, and I got my butt handed to me in relatively all my leagues, including the one which I thought I had a very good shot, but my guys with good matchups didn't come through. And I'm talking about last week or 2 weeks ago in the Guys with Big Shoes League, and my stud running backs, I mean one of my stud running backs and two of my stud wide receivers had probably the worst games of the year all at once. So I got toasted and got put out the for the most part.
Like a pastor.
Well, yeah, for the most part. And I got Gronk last week because of this has probably been one of my worst years. You put players in place with good matchups, and you get the worst performances from them. You can't. It's hard for me to figure out what the hell's going on here. So
I'll say this: Jamal Charles stabbed the joint because of play calling. That wasn't his fault.
Yes.
That wasn't Jamal Charles.
I totally agree with that.
The ball like what a total of 12 times, 9 rushes, 3 passes.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, I don't know what's going on. Well, Romeo's not going to be there, and more than likely Brian Daboll's not going to be there either. And you know, there was warning signs in the beginning of the season. I was reading a couple articles about the play calling of Brian Daboll, and I'm saying, well, he's got Jamal Charles. I mean, he's got Jamal Charles, and he was saying that he previously was playing was using Peyton Hillis, I think, when he was in Cleveland. So I'm saying, well, even if he does play Peyton Hillis, Jamal Charles is the workhorse and the guy who's going to have the most dynamic plays. And when you get games where he only touches the ball 5 times, and like last week 12 times, it's like, you know, dude, what are you doing? You got one of the most dynamic running backs in the league, and you don't use them. And if you've watched, I've watched Kansas City games, and this is very frustrating. I've watched Kansas City games, and I'm saying, you know, I'm a layman for all intents and purposes. I don't, I've never done anything professionally or done play calling, but from what I'm seeing, you have a player like Jamal Charles, you give him a minimal amount of plays, and then you pull him out, you bring in Sean Drawn, or you put in Dexter McCluster, and the plays that you would think they would give Jamal Charles to exceed in, he's on the sidelines, and you put these guys in, and they're not the same dynamic players. So it boggles my mind, the play calling in Kansas City. And unfortunately, I like Romeo Crennel as a person, and I thought I liked him. He would do a good job this year as a coach, but he's got to go. And the whole staff has got to go. Because they're misusing that one player, and that offense is so predictable and so piss poor with no quarterback. It boggles my mind how these guys can get jobs and be professional offensive coordinators or head coaches or whatever position they're in, because some of the stuff you sit in and watch is like, I could do better job than that. I mean, it's ridiculous. You've called plays. You probably can do a better job than some of these guys that are in these positions.
I actually could. Matter of fact, one of my guys on my former German Football League team posted on his Facebook page, he had one 15-yard touchdown and one plus 70-yard touchdown and a two-point conversion. One of his better games on less than 15 touches. He had a buck 70, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he came in as my sub because my main guy, who was my big bruising German fast running back, he was running scared. So
running scared?
Yeah, he was running scared, dude. He was big and he had speed. And the thing is, he put on a couple of extra pounds, and I told him not to do it.
Right.
He was going to lose his speed.
Right.
But he was doing it because he was going to, you know, take a lot of hits.
Right.
But the plan was to run a zone stretch.
Right.
Run game, whereas he could hit a hole or cut back and hit a hole.
Well, that's just like the Shanahan's type of
thing. Yeah, well, yeah, the Texans as well.
Right.
So this zone run blocking scheme.
That way
he wouldn't have to deal with a lot of hits.
Right.
But he packed on the pounds anyway, got up to 240, and, you know, he had a guy that he would have outran a year ago, he let him catch him on the edge. And instead of, you know, either cutting back and, you know, or whatever, he just tried to run him over and just bulldogged him to the ground. Had he just, you know, kept the 10, 15 pounds off, he could have just beat him up the sideline.
Right.
But the other running back came in and did a good job. But, I mean, I understand the play call or something like that. Jamaal Charles could have hurt me last week. Luckily, AP went off for me again. And Matt Ryan and Victor Cruz has been killing me the past couple weeks as well. But the biggest issue I'm having on my team in ESPN that should win the championship is I lost Gronk. When I lost Gronk, that made it a lot more difficult for me to rake up points because I receive, on average, like 15 to 20 points a game from him.
Okay.
I count on 15 to 20 points a game from him or more.
Right. Right.
I had a time where he scored more than the stinking wide receivers combined.
Okay.
And you know the team, Matt Ryan, AP, Jamaal Charles, Pierre Garçon, Victor Cruz, Gronk. I'm just listening to my normal starting lineups so folks would know. Gronk. Then I had Chad Greenway, DeQuil Jackson, Roman Harper, Steelers defense, and I forgot what my kicker was, David Akers at the time. But, I mean, when I lost him 2-3 weeks ago, I was like, oh, boy.
Well,
you tell him my timeline.
You still have a good backup.
Yeah, Greg Olsen is good, but they're canning the thoughts on him all the time, like Brady does for Gronk. You know Gronk's going to get at least 3 or 4 passes thrown his way and maybe a touchdown in there. Greg Olsen, he got 5 for 56 last week, but that was a good week, you know. But we'll see. We'll see. But we got a caller from the 980. I haven't seen this number before.
I'm
going to bring him in. And because we're talking fantasy football right now, I want to talk about the NFL playoffs as well. Let's stick on this topic. See what this call from 980 has to say. Caller from 980, welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Please state your name and what question you might have. Caller from the 980-230. I guess you just want to hang on. All right, I'll let you hang on and listen in. I guess we just lost him. All right. It's okay. Maybe it's just somebody trying to listen in to the show. I don't know. But, hey, please listen in. We appreciate you and want to keep you coming in, calling in. If you got any questions and you don't want to go on the air, you can always go to our chat room. which is located on our page, blogtalkradio.com/BICHBK. We are live. Go down there in the chat room, post your question, and I get it out in the air for you if you don't want to be live on the air. That's fine. Anyway.
So before we go any further, I'll pose this question to you. I
sure.
see that you are in two of the same leagues on ESPN. You're in the championship of both those. How many more championships are you have?
I'm in three total ESPN championships.
Okay.
I have one Yahoo championship. And last week I should have, man, I was so mad. I could have been in the NFL Experience Championship playing for the ring.
Mm-hmm.
But Jamal Charles didn't help a dude. I left like 60-something points on the bench.
Okay.
Because I was going with Jamal Charles, and I went with Victor Cruz and Ahmad Bradshaw.
Yeah.
You know my situation, I couldn't change out players, so
mm-hmm.
I had no idea Ahmad Bradshaw wasn't playing.
Mm-hmm.
So needless to say, I lost that matchup. And,
okay.
But in total, I'm in four championships out of 13 teams.
Okay.
Which
is
a bad ratio.
No, that's not a bad ratio at all. I'm very proud of you, Mr. Gardner. I know you took some of my advice, along with what you knew about fantasy football. But I mean, besides that, I'm happy for you because last year was a very rough year for you.
Yes, it was.
And it was very frustrating.
It was, three out of these four games or championships are for money.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it, you know, better for me. The ones that I didn't make it to the championship in, they were just for fun.
Okay.
You know, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always great playing for money and winning.
Mm-hmm.
Winning. Being the big thing.
Well, the other ESPN seems like it's going to be a little tougher than the one the ESPN 2 that you're in. You may have a tough
one. The one where it's Lights Out or Parlay Palace.
Parlay Palace. Oh, in fact, both of them look like they're going to be tough. Ooh, huh?
It says we're supposed to tie at 130.2 apiece.
I don't pay attention to those projections.
Dude, I mean, they've been pretty spot on for me lately, but, you know, I did get a tie earlier in the year. So, I don't know if it was this league or not, but I got a tie, and I was amazed because they use a decimal point system there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was asking Black, you know, what happens if we tie? You know, I was a number 3 seed, he was a number 4 seed. I had a better division record than he did, but
what's the tiebreaker? The tiebreaker, it's got to be the tiebreaker in the playoffs.
Points against. I have one of the tougher schedules, but you know, in a championship, that does that count though? I know to decide, you know, who makes the playoffs, points against, and then head to head and all that. But
let me see.
Championship. I don't know what it is.
Let me see with the playoffs. Season setup, playoff bracket setup, playoff season tiebreaker.
Let's go with the teams.
You're
on ESPN? Which one? You're in Parlay Palace right now?
Right now I'm in Parlay Palace, yes.
All right, so do me a favor. Let's run down that matchup between he and I and our players, and we'll let the listeners talk to us a little bit about how they feel about it. I mean, that is a tough game. That's a tough matchup.
You're in trouble. You're in trouble.
Well, let's run down the list before you say I'm in trouble,
Pat. No problem.
Jeez, he's such a mean person.
No
love for me.
No, I'm just saying. I'm looking at the matchups. I'm going from the quarterbacks, and I didn't even get past the two running backs, and I can see that you're in trouble.
Guy, don't worry. I'm good. All right, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Cam Newton. I've got Matt Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
He has Ray Rice. I have Darren McFadden with going against Carolina, so that kind of sucks. Frank Gore versus Seattle, which is a very good matchup for me against him. I've got Jamal Charles.
Not necessarily. We just talked earlier about Jamal Charles and how the play calling.
I know. But going against Indianapolis, if they do not run Jamal Charles, something needs to happen, like right then and there.
Hey man, they were against the division rival Oakland last week, and what they do? I mean, come on, huh? I know.
Let's finish. He's got Steve Johnson in his flex. I have Doug Martin in my flex, and Doug's going against St. Louis. He's got Brandon Marshall. I've got Victor Cruz. He has James Jones. I have Randall Cobb. I might throw Vincent Jackson in there. I don't know. Or Cedric Short out of Jacksonville. I'm not sure because Wingham gives up a lot of yards in the air. He's got Jay Finley. I've got Tony Scheffler. Haloti Ngata. I've got Brandon Maben. Carlos Dunlap. And I've got the big dog, who I got off the waiver wire. I don't know why he was there at the beginning of the year, but I got J.J. Swatum-Watt. He's got Luke Kuechly, which is a very good pickup for him.
Yep. Especially going against Darren McFadden, who you have. He's going to be all over him.
I know. I got Levante David. He's got Stephen Nichols. I've got Chase Blackburn. I'm actually looking for a replacement for Chase Blackburn.
You just ought to.
Yeah. He's got Troy Polamalu. I've got James Laurinaitis. He's got Devin McCourtney. I've got Jolon Dunbar. He's got David Akers. And I've got Shane Graham. Now, for the life of me, I'm not going to get into it on air because you might be listening. I wouldn't be going with those D-backs. That's just me.
Devin McCourtney, no way. Devin McCourtney, Troy Polamalu. You got to get points, and you're for lack of a better word, you're pissing in the wind with Troy Polamalu and Devin McCourty. Not exactly.
With Troy, he's going to come up and hit on. He's going to hit on Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Well, let me put it this way.
The danger is what he's saying in the game.
Well, this is my point. My point is what's better. Linebackers, which you know are going to have contact with running backs and whatever else that comes their way, tight ends or even rushing the quarterback, or having to deal with a safety and a cornerback and not being unsure of both of them, not being able to get what they needed in points. In my opinion, I'd go with linebackers, especially linebackers that are active, and I'm pretty sure there's some on the waiver wire, if you look hard enough, that you can pick them up rather than use Troy Polamalu, who's injury-prone and not as been as consistent as most people think, and Devin McCourty, who's a good DB, but he's not really that consistent. I mean, he's ranked fifth in the league that you're at. But I would rather have a linebacker in both those positions versus a safety and a cornerback.
I agree with you, but I don't want to give this guy any advice.
We just did. We just did.
I know we did.
And you were trying to cut me up, but you know I like to talk fantasy football, so I'm free with my information. Regardless if it's going to hurt me or not or whatever, I'm always free of my information because that's just how I roll. So
I don't want to hurt myself, though.
It's a different story when we got to go for the championship and it's got to deal with some money. Is that what you're saying?
Of course. Now, here's my actual dilemma. Here's my actual dilemma on this league, and I want people out there to understand and listen. I have Eric Decker, who I benched last week. Went off last week.
Why did you do that? I couldn't understand why
you did that. Well, because, again, I really didn't have access to all of my leagues, guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I didn't tell you to go fix this one. But I had Decker in my lineup all year long, and he'd been a disappointment. And in the past couple weeks, Cobb had, you know, done well for me. But now I'm at the point where I'm like, do I want to take a chance in a championship game and take Cobb out, even though he's like a prime target for Aaron Rodgers. I know Jones has had 12 touchdowns. I got it. But he doesn't get catches and yards. But, you know, touchdowns help too. Cobb is like a triple threat. He can score in the passing, running game, as well as on returns. So that's my dilemma.
You don't take Randall Cobb out. Randall Cobb is ranked fourth in our league in the position. You don't take Randall Cobb out. They're going against Tennessee. They're going against Tennessee.
No,
at
Randall
home.
Cobb's. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're going to be throwing.
Well,
that's
there,
what they
there goes
do.
My issue, dude. Do I take Victor Cruz out, who's going to have a good game versus Baltimore, for Eric Decker, who's going against Cleveland, who I know he's going to have a good game, but Victor Cruz is due to have a good game too. You know?
Is he? Is he? Is
I think
he?
He is.
Is he?
What do you say?
I'm going from week seven. I'm just going from week seven, okay, when they last played Washington. He had 20.5 points. The next week, he had 3.7 against Dallas. The next week after that, against Pittsburgh, he had 8.7. The next week after that, at Cincinnati, he had 3.2. They go on a bye. They come back. They play Green Bay at home. He has 10.2. Week 13, at Washington, they play Washington again. He had 11.4. Then he goes to New Orleans, which he plays home. He had 19.7. Consider New Orleans is one of the worst leagues, worst defenses in the league. Okay, and they had to throw because of the they were rolling. Then they go against at Atlanta. Now they know they have to throw at Atlanta, right? What happens? At Atlanta, 2.1.
Well, nobody did well except Hickson in that game, which I don't understand that, but, you know.
Well, let me put it this way. In my opinion, I understand he's top 10 in position rank in the league. I understand that. What is Decker? Decker is probably 15, somewhere around there. Let me just look at it.
He's 14.
14. See, I didn't even look at it, but I figured he was somewhere around there.
And we must remember, you're not playing for any playoffs this year.
I understand that. you don't have to rub it in. You don't have to. I understand. I think Decker, who last played against Baltimore, had that big game. I think
that's what I'm saying, guys.
Listen to me. Listen. I think because of what happened against Baltimore at Baltimore, Peyton Manning, I think another Manning brother could probably do the same thing. But Victor Cruz, understand this. Victor Cruz needs Hakeem Nicks to be in the game.
Yeah, I know.
If Hakeem Nicks is not in the game, Victor Cruz is going to be the main focus, and that's where you're going to get your 2.1, your 5 points, your 6 points, and you're not going to get any double digits and high yardage and a touchdown or two. So he's very dependent on if Hakeem Nicks takes a lot of the coverage away from him. So
I agree.
But I agree. I would play Victor Cruz as long as Hakeem Nicks is healthy and going to play in the game. I would play Victor Cruz because I think the other Manning, meaning Eli, will do the same thing or just about the same thing with Victor Cruz that was done last week with Eric Decker. The second wide receiver took advantage of the matchup in Baltimore, and I think Victor Cruz can do the same thing. But I couldn't fault you for changing your mind and putting Eric Decker in there because I think Eric Decker, he's going to be the second fiddle again, playing home against Cleveland, and Joe Hayden's going to be all over Demaryius Thomas, and Eric Decker's going to be the one that's going to be the main focus. So I couldn't fault you on either way. Let me put it that way. It's just personal preference.
Yeah, I just got to make sure I make the right choice, you know. Victor's been in my lineup all season. He was my number one receiver picked. I picked Decker based off of the analysis we had during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I listened to what you said on that front, and it burned me. But I ended up getting some decent players off the waiver wire anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's it's going to be a good matchup, a very, very good matchup. It's close. Right now it says that I'm due to win by a point or two. I think he's going to play around with his lineup all the way up until game time. Game start tonight as the Lions take on the Falcons, which is a big part of my lineup in that league. You know, I got Matty Ice.
You got Matty Ice, you got Scheffler.
Yeah.
So,
my main cog is Matty Ice, though.
Yeah.
That's my main cog. You know, if he puts up 27, 28 points, I can rely on the running game just a little bit, you know, just a little. Because I have a couple other backs I can put in there, but I'm not too keen on them.
Well, I wouldn't be too keen on these backs either. For the simple reason, both of these backs have been very inconsistent all year.
I agree.
Both of these backs have been extremely inconsistent all year.
Well, that's why I'm hoping that Doug Martin breaks out on St. Louis, because he's got a receiver in his flex, and I've got a running back in my flex.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on what happens, you know, if Cam Newton decides he's going to run all over Oakland, you know, I'm going to need Matty Ice to do some damage,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then that's going to take Darren McFadden out of the game because they'll throw the ball more. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens in this matchup. Let's move on to another matchup of mine.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, this is going to be a very fantasy-focused show.
Mm-hmm.
Championship in this league as well. It's a two-week championship. Let me set the background. This is the one I have at work. I went 8-4-1, second in my division. Two of my losses came to my division leader, who I just beat last week to make it to the championship. The other two were to my coworkers. We split the season. Now the third person in our division made the playoffs. He's at my job, and he won the last time we played each other.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very poor performance on my team. It's a week I should have started RG3 over Drew Brees, but I kept Brees in anyway. Here's my lineup. Let me tell you my team first. I got two of these players he dropped. Okay? He dropped
mm-hmm.
Shady McCoy, and he dropped Rob Gronkowski.
What?
And I picked them both. Yes. Yes.
What? He must have... What is it? First of all, tell me how many teams are in this league.
This is 10-team league.
10-team league, okay.
10-team
that's
league.
I can maybe understand why he dropped him, because there's a lot of talent still out there, but to drop Ron Gronkowski, you got to be kidding me.
Let me tell you my team. My team, then we'll go on his starting lineup versus my starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
I got Drew Brees, Matt Forte, Doug Martin, A.J. Green, Randall Cobb, Jason Witten, Shady McCoy, Texans defense, Lawrence Tyne, Vernon Davis, Vincent Jackson, Robert Griffin III, Chargers D, Rob Gronkowski, Vic Ballard, and Cecil Shorts. That's who I have currently.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the matchup, here's what the matchup looks like. And it's a pretty decent matchup, actually.
Mm-hmm.
He has Andrew Luck, I've got Drew. He's got Trent Richardson, I've got Matt Forte. He's got No Sean Marino, I've got Doug Martin. Brandon Marshall, A.J. Green. James Jones, Randall Cobb. Owen Daniels, Jason Witten. T.Y. Hilton, LeSean McCoy. Redskins D, Texans D, Dan Bailey, Lawrence Tyne. Now, again, this is a two-week championship. I'm slated to win by 13. Week four, I beat them 106-103. Week 13, he won 93-74. Had a lot of disappointment that week. The trend is, since week 12, he's outscored me. Okay? That's the trend.
He only had one quarterback, Andrew Luck?
I'll tell you in a second. No, he's got more than one.
Because let me put it this way. He's going up against KC. At KC, Andrew Luck doesn't play well on the road at all. I don't care who he's going against. He does not play well on the road.
Let me check out his team. Here's his full team. And he scored pretty high last. His full team, I gave you a starting line. He's got Stevie Johnson, Antonio Brown, Carson Palmer, Michael LeSure, Justin Blackman, Colin Kaepernick, and Brian Hartline.
And my question is this. Does he listen to this show?
No, but I told him he needs to. But he
okay.
Doesn't.
The reason I'm asking
you
that
is... I would start Colin. That's me. I would start Colin.
There is no way I would start Andrew Luck. I understand he's got Andrew Luck. He may be in love with Andrew Luck and going along with the hype, but I would not start Andrew Luck again in this matchup. I wouldn't start Andrew Luck in this matchup. No. Okay, you got Colin Kaepernick and Carson Palmer and who else?
Those are his only two quarterbacks.
And Colin Kaepernick is going up against Seattle in Seattle, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's the reason why he's starting Andrew Luck. In his opinion, that's his best option. And
well,
he may not be wrong because playing in Seattle is a very tough environment. New England lost there. Green Bay lost in there. So top quarterbacks don't do well. So.
Well, my thing is... I see what he's trying to do here with starting Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton. He's hedging his bet that T.Y. is going to get a lot of play from Andrew. And therefore, when Andrew throws a touchdown to T.Y., he gets double the points.
Inconsistent. T.Y. Hilton's not consistent.
Yeah,
so.
I agree.
So.
Because at the beginning of the season, it was all about, you know, Reggie Wayne.
Reggie Wayne has been falling off too. He may be getting the targets, but he's not getting in the end zone. So, Reggie Wayne's for the most part the last few weeks has been racking up the yards, but not getting into the end zone. So, he's counting on T.Y. Hilton getting into the end zone and Andrew Luck thrown to him. But that's a risk you take in the middle of the season. Not when you're going for a championship.
I agree. Well, I mean, the thing is, no Sean Marino, who I told him to pick up, because he picked up Ronnie Hillman. I said, dude, no, you need to get no Sean Marino. Remember that show? I think it was your show.
Yeah,
I said, pick up
no
Sean.
Yeah.
Everybody,
yeah.
So I told him to pick him up, and
mm-hmm.
he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been doing well for him since.
Yeah, but who are they playing this week?
Oh, they're playing Cleveland, dude. No Sean's going to do well. Alfred Morris killed him. So, you know, we'll see what happens, especially the passing ability of good.
Why did he give up LeSean McCoy? Do you think he's coming back this year?
Correct. He dropped them Sunday or Saturday, and then on Tuesday they said Shady was going to play.
Mm-hmm.
So I put a waiver wire in for him. And,
I don't think he's going to play that much. I mean, this is week 16.
He's supposed to start.
I understand that. That doesn't mean squat to me. For the simple reason, he's been on the shelf for like two and a half weeks or whatever it is because of a concussion. They're not going to give him a full workload. Not this late in the season with nothing on the line. Just for pride. Because he's ready to play, they're going to put him back out there. But he's going to split time with Bryce Brown. So I understand why he would drop him. But, part of playing fantasy football and part of if you're going for a championship is not dropping players so your opponent can pick him up. If you can have players that your opponent may want, or may use against you, you hold on to them. You got to. That's why you have a bench.
Exactly.
You hold on to them, and then if you don't want to, you don't want them on your team, you put them on a bench. But you don't just put them out there to give them to your opponent, and that can be the difference between whether you lose or win in a championship. And this one's for money?
No, well, this is for bragging rights at the office, but we're going to have a sizable wager.
Okay.
Between the two of us.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, it is what it is.
So, looking at the two teams and the lineups, what is your prediction?
A prediction is that you win. This is the last week. This is the final week,
no,
right?
No, 2 weeks. It's two,
two
weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Oh, so you go week 16
week
and 17
week.
Then. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I think you win this week. And let's see who Luck plays next week. Luck plays Houston next week, so he's not going to
have. He's probably going to go with. I don't think he's going to go with Houston. Luck. I think he's going to go with Kaepernick.
Kaepernick.
And
what does San Francisco play next week? I'm not sure about that.
I'm not sure.
I can find out real quick. That's no big deal.
I'm up here typing him a message.
Let's see. What does San Francisco play next week? San Francisco plays. Yeah, next week he'll go with Kaepernick. I can almost guarantee it. Arizona at San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
So.
That's it for that one. You know, that's.
Well,
now,
it sounds like you have a strong shot to win the three leagues that we talked about.
Yeah, buddy. Now, the one that's going to give me the most trouble, it's not for the championship, but it's an opportunity to go into the championship. And this guy's been a thorn in my side ever since I started this league. I met him in the championship for the very first championship game of this ESPN league, and I'm talking about Lights Out Game Over, and I'm talking about Mark McBride, who I know listens to the show.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be tough, but here's the starting lineups, and this is pretty rough, man. Pretty rough. I'm a little worried about it. He's got Peyton Manning. I've got Matt Ryan. He's got Stephen Ridley. I've got Jamal Charles. He's got Alfred Morris. I've got Adrian. He's got, and here's the killer, Andre Johnson versus Victor Cruz, Calvin Johnson versus Pierre Garçon. He's got Tony G, I've got Greg Olsen, he's got D'Amico Ryan, I've got Chad Greenway, Stephen Tulloch versus DeQuil Jackson, Harrison Smith versus Roman Harper, the Cardinals D, which I felt was a big mistake, versus the Steelers D. And he's got Matt Prater. I've got Matt Bryant. The stats, they had him projected at 223 and made 216. But the comparison, they had me winning the comparison with a zero. There's no line on this. And I'm like, how can there not be a line on it? Is it that close of a matchup that you can't even give a line?
Mm-hmm.
But that's what ESPN is doing. Last time we played, I won 236.9 to 229.3.
Mm-hmm.
That was week 7.
Well,
I've been outscoring him since week 12. Last week, he just barely outscored by like 2 points or something like that. But my problem is this, dude. If Calvin and Andre get off, it's going to be lights out, came over for me. Because I honestly think Stephen Ridley, after he fumbled versus New England, the 49ers, he got in Bill Belichick's doghouse just a little bit.
Well, he fumbled, what, twice? I think
yeah.
He fumbled twice in that game.
And Shane Vereen fumbled once as well.
Right. Shane Vereen, yeah. They all total, I think all three running backs, or all two running backs fumbled three times. So,
yeah.
And
Danny Woodhead's getting a lot more play.
Yeah, because he holds on to the ball more. So,
it's a push between he and Ridley and Jamal Charles if they screw me over with Jamal's touches again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Jamal was, you know, it's a shame that he's so freaking inconsistent, man. I didn't expect. What I expected from Jamal Charles is perhaps his injury, or coming back from an injury, holding him back somewhat. I didn't expect the coaching, the offensive coordinator, to be really holding him back. So, depending on what they get in their coaching after this year, after this season, it's going to make a big difference on how they use Jamal Charles, because they just absolutely was horrible. The play calling in Kansas City. Too predictable.
But with the lineups, though. With the lineups.
With the lineups,
I mean,
you have here?
How close to see our games, man.
Oh, man. I'm looking at these two stud wide receivers, along with Alfred Morris and his quarterback, on Logo and... You got a problem. You do have a problem. And plus the fact that you got Tony Gonzalez, too, and Matt Ryan loves throwing to Tony Gonzalez.
Which
wow.
works for me, but it could work against me, too.
Yeah. I mean, wow.
See,
Peyton Manning by himself is good for 300 yards for the most part and two or three touchdowns for the most part. Last couple of weeks, he's thrown for over 300 and a little over 200 and only thrown for one touchdown. But he hasn't been under 30 points since the bye week.
Yeah, I know.
He's been 30 points or over since week 8, and this is week 15 now.
But Denver's really not playing for anything. They've got the playoff spot. They've got the division. They're not going to get home field advantage throughout. So
they're
I'm
playing.
Thinking,
no.
I mean, yeah, he'll play, but
Mike Smith, if Peyton Manning, excuse me, when Peyton Manning is in the game, it's hammer time. Plain and simple. He goes from first whistle to final gun. That's Peyton Manning. He's out there, he's playing. He's out there. He's playing. He's playing to win. So he's going to rack up early. He's going to try to rack up points. He may, if the game's high, a scoring game, and they're up by a lot, he may be running the ball a lot late in the game. But he's going to build that lead up first before they get conservative near the end of the game.
Yeah. I'm worried. I mean, this is probably the only game, the only matchup I am worried about because. You got two studs, man.
Don't say that, man. You know why I say you know why I say that? When I've said that, and I either expressed that to my wife or something, I said this is probably an easy matchup. The other ones I'm not too worried about. The other ones turn out to be the toughest matchups, and the one I say this is the easiest matchup is the one that's the toughest. So it always works out that way. So. You go. I approach it like they're all tough. I'm always worried about any matchup, regardless of what the projection is, because I don't know how many times I've seen a projection saying that I should win by a comfortable margin, and I wind up losing and getting kicked, and my butt kicked. So it's you gotta have some knowledge of putting players in the right spot in the right week. And then you also have to have a little luck for them players to come through when you want them to.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right, old timer. That's the life of ESPN.
Yep.
We don't want to get to Yahoo because that one isn't for money, but it's still a good matchup. In the one Yahoo league that isn't for money, dude. All Ricky, you know what? I'm mad at Ricky. I'm going to talk about Yahoo real quick because I'm mad at Ricky.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
All Ricky had to do was beat Buckeye. That's all he had to do, and I would have made the playoffs. Ricky would have been a higher seed and, you know, all that. Everybody had locked up their playoff spot from 1 to 7. Only 1 to 10 was 8. That was between me and Buckeye.
Mm-hmm.
right? So a couple weeks ago, you know, I get a call from Ricky and Dave, the Bears. That's the team. The Bears won or whatever. And Dave tells Ricky, I wouldn't let Vic in the playoffs because he's too dangerous. I'm like, shut up, Dave. What are you talking about? So pretty much what Ricky does is he plays Tony Romo over Drew Brees. Now, Drew Brees, because in Yahoo, you know, you don't get the points taken away from incompletes and stuff. It was a game that Drew went against New York and had a terrible game, but he outscored Romo by 15 points in that game. Guess how many points Ricky lost by?
16.
No. 4.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, you think he tanked the game? You think he put Tony
Romo?
Oh,
he said he was. He said he was.
Oh, see, that's not right, man. That's not right. You can't do that.
He said he's going to put in the player he thinks has the best chance. I'm like, dude, are you serious? Tony Romo versus Pittsburgh. Drew Brees versus New York's defense. Before Monday night's game, because he lost because of Monday night's game, Aaron Hernandez went off in that game, right? So before that game, he was winning like by 20 or 30 points, whatever case it may be. And then Aaron Hernandez went off and got him like, got the guy 30-something points. So he texts me and says, what are you worried about for, boy? You know I got this. I swept them all season. And I was like, don't count the chickens to your eggs. So I was like, all right, thank you, whatever. So then Tuesday comes around, you know, he had a peep out of this dude. I fire off the email talking about, you know, dude, I wish everybody looking except for that one dude. You know who I'm talking to. You know, I could kill Rick. Because last week I had the highest score out of everybody. But I wasn't in the playoffs. So it didn't matter. But they're playing for the money in that Yahoo League. I'm not playing for anything. It's ridiculous. You know, I'm going to have to pay everybody. That's the bottom line. I'm going to have to pay everybody, which sucks.
What do you mean?
But, you know, it is what it is.
What do you mean you're going to have to pay everybody?
I said I'm going to have to.
What do you mean?
In Yahoo? Yeah.
Well, if you win the other ones, why do you even worry about that?
Because, man, I want to spend money on myself. I got to win.
Well, you got 3 chances to win.
Tired of handing out money.
Well, you got 3 chances to win money of your own. What are you talking about?
I know, but it's the principle of the thing.
Well, I understand that. I mean, I can't believe you did that, but I can believe it because I don't know. I don't know. I got my opinion of Ricky, so.
I still love him. But
yeah.
He's played Drew Brees all season. And then decides to play Tony Romo. Sad. But had I beat him the week prior, it wouldn't even been a discussion. So that was my fault. But anyway.
Yeah. I gave up on Yahoo a long time ago.
We know. All right. Let's move forward. I got a couple sound bites here. We got about, 36 minutes left. Let's talk about the NFL season, which is coming to an end starting tonight with Detroit and Atlanta. But let's get into these sound bites real quick. Since we talked about Tony Gonzalez and the need for him not to do well this week, and have Matt Ryan still go for 400 yards with Julio Jones and Roddy White. Here's what Tony has to say about his career.
I know I'm going to miss it, but it's up to me to go out there and try to do something else where I'm passionate about and try to give me some focus, and it's on to the next chapter because it's got to end sooner or later. I can't just keep coming. I'm not going to be able to do this forever. So, you know, and I've had my fill. I've gotten the friendships, the relationships. I played on some great football teams.
So, does that sound like a guy that's going to retire regardless of the outcome of this year?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he sounds like he's at peace with his decision. He sounds like he's at peace with his decision. He's saying that he can't go on forever. He knows that he probably could play for another couple, two, three seasons. But sooner or later, it's got to end. So he's got his mind resolved that he's 95% sure. Because I heard part, I think that's an ESPN interview.
Yeah.
I heard that interview, and he sounded like a guy that, like not like most guys, that wait until it's too late. He sounds like he wants to go on top regardless if he wins the championship, which hopefully he does this year, or if he doesn't, he's still going to go out because the fact is he's had his fill of doing the things it takes to be able to perform week to week and season to season.
Well, you know, it's going to be hard to replace that guy. I think if Atlanta is smart, they'll go get that kid out of UCLA, 6'7", 6'8". I think his last name's Olsen, if I'm not mistaken. I would go get him. And if Tony G decides to play one more year, that's a good thing, so he can mentor this kid. Or he can just be a coach, you know, for a year.
Absolutely.
Because the tight ends they have right now, they can't step up and take Tony G's place, blocking or receiving. So, you know, I think if there is going to be a change in regard to Atlanta, that Mr. Dimitrov, I believe his name is, in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
needs to focus on replacing him and updating their defensive line, getting that pass rush together. So we'll see what happens with Tony G and the Falcons tonight. Who you got in that game, by the way?
You talking about Atlanta against Detroit?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a no-brainer, man. I saw Detroit play Arizona last week, and it was absolutely horrible. I couldn't believe how horrible Detroit was playing. Matt Stafford and Calvin Johnson. The only bright spot was Calvin Johnson. Matthew Stafford was horrible in that game, and the Detroit defense was horrible, and the offense. It was a horrible showing against a team that's lost 9 straight games. Arizona with a horrible quarterback at that. I couldn't believe they got blown away by Arizona. So Detroit, they're playing in Detroit, don't make a difference. Detroit, from my opinion, probably packed it in by now. Matt Ryan and company should have a cakewalk. Detroit, Mac, he said they were hot garbage all year, but that was the worst showing I've ever seen. They completely laid down and weren't interested in playing Arizona last week, which was an easy opponent to take with a horrible quarterback, terrible offensive line, and they just handed the game to Arizona.
Well, I tell you what. I think the fact that Beanie Wells scored 3 touchdowns and looked like a very good running back, it caught him by surprise.
No.
So they didn't know that Beanie was going to run over them like that.
Yeah, but how many yards did Beanie have in that game? Because at least two of those touchdowns were short yardage touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken.
Hey. Hold on.
Yeah. Hello? Hello? Hello?
My bad, dude. I'm sorry. My dog started having dog fights like Michael Vick, and then my kids up here being like Michael Vick, watching them fight and trying to separate them.
Okay. At least, getting back to what I said about Beanie Wells. Beanie Wells had three touchdowns. Two were 1 yard and 5 yard. So they turned the ball over in great position for Vinnie Wells. He has 17 carries for 67 yards and three touchdowns. And one of the touchdown runs, this is how much he did in running. One of the touchdown runs was a 30-yard run, 31-yard run. So
yeah, I know.
So he had 16 carries for 36 yards. Hello. You follow what I'm saying? He wasn't a big dominant running back. He had taken advantage of the turnovers that Detroit had. They had four turnovers. Four turnovers,
because,
and three of them were interceptions.
Yeah, and I was going to say that because Detroit doesn't have a viable option other than Calvin Johnson, it has become an issue, you know, whereas he's trying to force the ball to him. He's not even looking at the other receivers. Tony Scheffler had 12 targets last week.
No, he had seven.
Okay.
Seven targets. Calvin had 17.
How many targets did anybody else have?
Calvin Johnson had 17. Tony Scheffler had seven. Logan had three. Heller had three. Durham, which is his, Stafford's college teammate, I think, had five. And then Joik Bell had four. Kevin Smith had two. And Brian Rubisky and Mike LeSueur had three also. So, I mean, it was spread out because they were trying to catch up, and they throw the ball more than any other team in the league. But 17, by far, was where they were going with Calvin. And he didn't have a touchdown in that game. He had 10 for 121 yards. So.
Well, I tell you what.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lack of opportunity. A lack of opportunity for anybody else. You see Calvin getting 17 targets, he's probably going to get 20, 25 because now they're going to try to give him the record. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what else is there?
Well, you know, just to put it in perspective how bad Detroit played, Arizona's quarterback, Ryan Lindley, 14 for 21 for 104 yards. And they win the game 38-10.
Dude, I understand. I understand. You know, and that's why I think LGO picked up the Cardinals defense because he saw what they did last week.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, he made a fatal flaw. I'm not going to discuss it right now, but I'll discuss it after the game starts tomorrow. But Detroit, here's what I'm saying. Jim Schwartz, he's coaching for his job. If they come out and lay an egg tonight, Schwartz is going to be fired.
You really believe that?
Yeah. I think if you look at all the things that have taken place under his watch, how many DUIs, how many disciplinary actions have been taken to his players, and, you know, his reaction to Jim Harbaugh last year, you know, that's a depiction of how he's letting the team go.
Mm-hmm.
He's chasing down another coach, getting in his face, having to be held back by security and his players. You know, now Martin Mayhew, he has some culpability in this as well because he's the one that drafted these players.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Schwartz is going to be the first one to go. Over Mayhew can say, well, we gave him the talent. It was his job to cultivate that talent and turn it into something productive,
mm-hmm.
which they did. You know, and the Madden jinx, for the first time, really did not hit a player. Because Calvin Johnson's having the best season of any receiver, except for Jerry Rice, to this point.
Mm-hmm.
There's a real chance that Calvin could go over 2,000 yards receiving, which had never been done.
Strong chance.
Yeah, a strong chance.
Mm-hmm.
Especially being the only major target for Detroit. You know, Nate Burleson said on ESPN that if there's any player that has outperformed their contract, it has been Calvin Johnson. And he's right. Even though Calvin Johnson got paid like millions and millions of dollars, he's outperformed his contract.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's like 100 and something mil, but he's outperformed that already. But I'm looking at the situation up there. When Brian Broyles got hurt, you know, even though he's a rookie, he was impactful. They brought in Mike Thomas. Mike Thomas hasn't been that big of a threat. He doesn't draw any attention away from Calvin. Pettigrew's hurt. He could have drawn help for Calvin Johnson, but didn't. You know, Michael LeSueur, supposed to be that running back to alleviate that double coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't materialized. I think that Jim Schwartz is coaching for his job. He has to win tonight, and he has to win next week in order to keep his job. I honestly think that.
Oh, who do you else think is coaching for the job? Put it this way. Wait a minute. Let me put it this way. At the end of the season, who loses their job?
You want to go by conference? We can go by conference. Let's start with NFC East. Let's start with NFC East first. We already know Andy Reid's gone.
Hold on, man. Let me just go there. Okay. We'll go to NFC East. Andy Reid's gone, okay?
Now, there's a possibility that Jason Garrett's gone, but Jason Garrett has proven if you give him a running game, the offense will show up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think DeMarco Murray may have saved his job, but he's on the borderline. Okay,
Let's go to NFC North.
NFC North. Unfortunately, if the Bears don't make the playoffs, Levy's gone.
Okay. They've lost the last three.
Yeah.
So they've been pretty bad in the second half of the season. So you think Levy's gone? You think Jim Schwartz is gone?
Yes, I think Schwartz is gone. I think Frazier is safe. And of course, McCarthy? Yeah, McCarthy.
Yes,
safe.
McCarthy. Okay, let's go to the NFC South.
South in your mouth.
Let me just say this. Sean Payton's contract was null and voided for the most part by the NFL.
I do recall that. However, mm-hmm. I think the bond between him and Drew Brees are strong.
Mm-hmm.
That he'll listen if the Cowboys do fire Jason Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll listen to the Cowboys, but he'll stick with New Orleans because of the bond between he and Drew Brees.
Okay.
If he doesn't, then it's all about the Benjamins. Because he has a better chance of winning another Super Bowl in the South and New Orleans than going and competing in the NFC East. He really does.
So you know Mike Smith is safe. Or is he? If they go to the playoffs and they're one and done again, is he safe?
He's safe because I think they win at least one or two playoff games.
Mm-hmm.
Do they win the NFC title? It depends on who they play.
Well, no. I premise this as Atlanta has been good getting to the playoffs. They had the number one seed last year and got blown out.
Year before last.
Okay, whatever it was. They've been like one and done for the most part in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Is it his job safe if he's one and done this year? Being the number one, they're going to probably have the number one seed in the NFC.
Is it safe if they're one
is
and
it
done
safe?
This year?
Exactly. Because they have a piss poor record in the playoffs since those two.
I would say he gets on the hot seat.
Okay.
And next year is the make-or-break year.
Okay.
I think that'll be the make-or-break year because you got to look at the talent, at the age of the talent. Tony G will be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Abraham might be gone on the
mm-hmm.
defensive side.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Turner could be on his way out.
I think Michael Turner's gone. I really believe he's gone. Yeah, I think he's gone. I really believe he's gone. I don't think they're going to deal with Michael Turner again, and the way his style is and the style of the offense now. So
that's what I'm saying because then they'll use Jacquez Rogers a little bit more, but they'll find them their own Doug Martin, their own
mm-hmm.
Ray Rice.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
but I don't think Smith is gone. Ron Rivera is gone.
Ron Rivera is gone.
He's going to have to be a defensive coordinator somewhere else. He's out of there. Who will replace him? Possibly Levy Smith. Levy Smith or Bill Cowher, honestly. Bill Cowher or Levy Smith, I think, will come into Carolina and will do a better job. Let's see. Who else?
Let's go into the NFC West. Harbaugh is safe, you know that.
Whoa. We didn't do Greg Schiano, did we?
Well, what do you think? I mean,
I think he's safe.
I think he's safe. They've lost the last four games, okay? He's 6-8 now. They only can become 500 if they win the next two games, which is unlikely. But he can win at least one of the last two games. He'd be 7-8.
I think they're better than they were last year. That was a key point.
They're more competitive than they were last year. More competitive and than they were last year.
Correct.
That's why I skipped over him, because I didn't think his job was in jeopardy.
Okay. So you want to go to the West. Wizenhunt.
Wizenhunt
is out.
You think Ken Wizenhunt is out? You think he is?
I think the
Bidwells are a very, 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 I can't say it very enough, frugal organization. And in order to get a coach to come to Arizona with all the problems they have, they're going to have to pay some. So you think they're going to be one?
GM position. Meaning, let the coach be the GM and the coach.
Wow.
I honestly think that they're willing to do that. And to entice somebody to come with Larry Fitzgerald on his last couple of years in Arizona, they need to make sure that Williams or Wells is the back they need, but they need to fix the offensive line. Now, if Wizenhunt isn't gone, then I hate to say it, but Russ Grimm is gone. And I'm going to say that, too, in Chicago. If Lovie doesn't get canned, Mike Tyson's getting canned.
Yeah, because Mike Tyson and Jay Cutler don't get along.
You know, but just offensive lines for both teams have struggled immensely.
Really?
Now, all you can do is you can work with what you have. Mike Tyson has more than Russ Grimm does, but that's all you can do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Wizenhunt could be gone. Carroll is safe because they're contending for a division title again. I told you that. I wish you would have bet me on it. And they're going to go to the playoffs. I think they're going to go to the playoffs. I think it's only going to be one NFC East team, and that's going to be division champion. I think Chicago will win that final game to make it to the playoffs, and Seattle wins that division of its wild card spot.
So
no Harbaugh is safe.
Without going into the AFC, we just named six coaches that are gone.
Yeah.
Six coaches.
Yep.
Six coaches that have one from the East, two from the North, one from the South, and one from the West.
Yeah.
I think that's six.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And we haven't gone to the AFC yet. This is going to be a hot bit of coaches. You're going to see some coaches switch around. I mean, like I said, Lovey's going to land as a head coach in one of these spots if Chicago lets him.
You really think he's going to land in the head coaching spot?
Yeah. I really think he's going to land. I think Lovey will land in a head coaching spot. Lovey will take a frugal pay to go to Arizona. I think he would. I think if they let Ken Wizenhunt go and they want to pay, because he doesn't make much now. He doesn't. All the Bengals have to do is pay him maybe a million or so more than what he's making right now in Chicago. He has a dome team with a defense already in place. All they got to do is change it from a 3-4 modification to a 4-3. He can find him a quarterback.
Where? You tell me.
In the draft.
You tell me a decent quarterback that's going to be in the 2013 draft that is
West Virginia's quarterback.
What are you talking about?
Quarterback.
Geno Smith, I think it is? Is it Geno Smith or whatever his
name
is?
Geno, yes.
Yeah.
I think he could take Geno and do what, and here's another thing. I think that Kyle Shanahan is going to get one of these jobs.
You think he's going to leave the umbrella of his dad and try to get a whole head coaching job somewhere?
I think he'll be offered a position somewhere.
Wow.
I really do. Because look what he's done. Everybody said that he would not modify his offense to fit RG3. Donovan McNabb said it. Several other people said this is a bad scheme for him, da-da-da-da-da. He went and changed his offense to suit the needs of his quarterback, and he's been successful with it. Last week, he reverted back to a standard offense because he had a standard quarterback, and he made Kirk Cousins look like he was an all-star. Granted, it was going against Cleveland, but Cleveland hasn't been a slouch. Cleveland's been pretty good all year, even though they've lost. So I think Kyle will be one of these fresh, young coaches, head coaches, to come in. I mean, I'll tell you right now, since we're still on the NFC, those six coaches that I said were fired, one or two will resurface as a head coach somewhere, Lovie Smith being one of them, if Lovie's fired. Now, you want to go to the AFC. Contrary to a lot, the Raiders will keep Mr. Allen.
Well, I would think that. Let's go to the East first. Let's go to AFC East. We'll start from the East and work to the West.
Okay.
New England, quite naturally, New England is safe. I think the Jets coach is safe, at least for one more year. Miami's coach.
Chan Gailey might be on his way out because of the issues right now with the offense. Stevie Johnson said something about it and then recanted, but it's true. They want to be a ground-and-pound game team up there, which is good because they've got the weapons. But when you have the weapons on the outside that Fitzgerald has, you need to use them. And, you know, stop letting people stack the box 8-9 in the box and still running the ball. Spread the ball out just a little bit, you know. I think Chan Gailey's gone. That'll be one of the surprise firings because there hasn't been that much talk about him getting fired.
All right. Let's go to the Miami's going to – they're not going to change. They're 6-8, and they got a shot to at least be 7-8. I don't think they're going to be 8-500, but I don't think they're going anywhere. I think Philbin's safe for a few years rebuilding
now,
that team.
Philbin is safe, but Philbin has lost his locker room.
You think?
I think he's lost his locker room. Literally. I really think he has.
Why you say that?
That's the bad part. Because you have players, you know, that think they can talk to you about, you know, things and think that they have some type of leverage with them. They have none. They have none. This goes back to the preseason with the firing or the release of Chad Johnson, you know, and then with Reggie Bush getting benched and coming back and forth and the way that he's treated the players as if they were cattle, you know. I think he's lost his locker room. That's
okay.
Just me.
All right. Well, we'll have to wait and see. Another season will be the telltale sign of that.
True. But as you said, I don't think he's going to lose his job, but I think he's lost his locker room. You want to go to the North?
NFC North.
Now, they say Pat Shurmur will know, like, right after the last game. So that's
He's gone.
Because you have a new owner, Joe Banner, who wants to bring in his guys.
He's gone.
So, you know, Cleveland has a new guy in there.
Everybody's
safe. The Bengals are safe. Because Marvin, a good coach, he's been good to Cincinnati. He's taken the team and done well with them. Mike Tomlin is going to be safe because Pittsburgh doesn't just fire its coaches.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to happen. Baltimore. Baltimore is not going to fire Harbaugh, but in two years, after they retool this defense, if he can't get them over the hump in those 2 years, Harbaugh is gone.
Okay.
But they're safe.
The South. AFC South. Houston, we know, is safe. Indianapolis, we know he's safe. Tennessee and Jacksonville.
Munchak is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Munchak is gone in Tennessee. And it's not his fault. It's not his fault. It's a talent that he has to work with. But he's proven thus far that he can't motivate that talent to the point where they're going to surprise some folks, or they're going to do what they're supposed to do. Yeah, they've had injuries, but Locker, you know, he's been the victim of drops and bad decision making. TJ 2K, Chris Johnson, hasn't been running the way he should, and he's saying his offensive line is a big part of that, which I agree with. But I think he needs to be more proactive and work with his line more.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me. But I think they are the reason why he's going to be fired. Or at least on a very, 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 very thin leash going into next season. Who else do we have?
Jacksonville.
Khan is going to stick with that head coach. What's his name? Malarkey. Malarkey was dealt a bad hand. He didn't get the quarterback he wanted. He lost his star running back. The team is pretty bad. I think they're going to give Malarkey another year. They're going to draft or trade for the quarterback they want.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, this is going to come as a surprise. 3 days after Super Bowl, and Michael Vick is cut from the Philadelphia Eagles, he'll be in Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah, that would be a surprise.
The reason why I say that is because Michael Vick wants to start. Michael Vick can start. You put Michael Vick and MJD in the same backfield, okay, you've got trouble. And you don't have to pay him that much. And you can still draft your quarterback of the future. Because Blaine Gabbert is gone. They're getting rid of Blaine Gabbert.
Mm-hmm.
You dig? So that means you're left with Chad Henne, Michael Vick, and the quarterback they're going to draft for the future.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. You let Chad Henne and Mike Vick fight for the starting job. Okay? You draw in the crowd to come see Michael Vick and MJD. Now, you know that Mike Vick's not going to make a full year, so you keep Chad Henne regardless. They're just like he's going to start. You bump, and they plan in the South. The South isn't that strong. Because I give you maybe 1 or 2 more years for the Texans, and they're going to need another quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Schaub isn't like a 12-year quarterback.
Well, they have T.J. Yates in the wings, so they have a young quarterback that's got NFL starting experience.
Am I keeping you up, old guy?
I'm sorry. NFL starting experience and it is able to take over whenever Matt Schaub is either not there or hurt. So
that's fine, but you got to remember that team's going to get pillaged. Its free agents are going to get pillaged, and that's another thing that's going to hurt Schwartz.
Mm-hmm.
About half of his defense is going to be a free agent, are going to be free agents next year.
Mm-hmm.
So that hurts Schwartz's chances in Detroit. But back to the South, Jacksonville has a lot to offer, and I think Michael Vick is going to land there. I'm saying it here. It might not happen, but I think it makes more sense than him going to the Jets or him going somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to start. He's proven he can win. And you give him MJD, that's dynamite right there. But I think his job is safe. Now let's go to the West.
To the West.
You know Norv is gone.
Yep.
Norv is gone. Okay.
I don't think Oakland's coach is gone. I think he's going to get at least another year.
I think so too.
To fix the mess that he has. But Romeo is definitely gone.
Yeah, Romeo, I mean, all the coaches except John Fox are gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Allen has a shot at staying only because Raleigh McKenzie is the GM. It's not Al Bates.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason why. Now, the problem is they don't have any draft picks coming up. They have, like, maybe three picks coming up this year.
Mm-hmm.
So the issue is, do you stick with Carson or do you let Terrell Pryor have a shot at leading the team?
Well, supposedly
in today's NFL, you need to let Terrell Pryor have a legitimate shot at taking over that job.
Well, he's getting more and more playing time. He's supposed to get more playing time this week and probably quite a bit next week. So they're auditioning Terrell Pryor to see what they actually have. So,
I mean, you might as well. You don't have any other draft picks. You're
going
to have to make do with what you got.
Right.
You're going to have to sign some free agents. You're going to have to do something because it's kind of rough. It's slim pickings for them, you know. But anyway.
Well, we talked about both conferences and what we think are going to be coaches that are going to be gone. And from what I'm seeing and from what we've been talking about, it's 11 to 12 coaching positions, head coaching positions, that are going to be changed over the off season. That's
possibility of a change.
Well, strong possibility, because quite a few of these are very strong possibilities or done deals already. These guys are gone. That's 12 head coaching positions. That's what, third of the league or whatever?
Yep. And the thing about it is you're going to see some new blood. You're going to see Jim Kelly come from Oregon. He's probably the landing spot for him is going to be, that's what they're saying, it's going to be the Eagles, which would be okay. You've got, I think Kyle Shanahan's going to get at least an opportunity. You're going to see a lot of new blood up there. But before we go any further, because we might run over time, we only got 3 minutes left, I want to promo all the shows. Firstly, I want to thank everybody for listening to Fantasy Sports and Politics. Here we are live. It's Saturday on Blog Talk Radio. Last week, again, I want to apologize for not having a show.
Yeah,
that
I apologize.
Happened. It's all right.
I had set up a show. I admit it. I screwed up. Set up a show. I had to work in the last minute, so I set up a show. And knowing I had to call in to start the show, when I realized what time it was way past the time that I was supposed to call in. One of my co-hosts on a prior show, Black, called me up to say, "What, no show?" And by that time, it was too late. I screwed up. I got so tied up with the job I was doing on Saturday, which doesn't happen that often. I forgot to call, man. I really apologize.
You gotta make money. You gotta make money. We're not making any money here, but you gotta make money. I got it. Not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to apologize for everybody that was waiting for the show that didn't get it. But that's okay. That's okay because we're here. We're live this week. Tomorrow, Sunday, 10 a.m. The Master Plan, JTATM Money, calls in and hosts his show. To give you more fantasy advice and information, we kind of snuck a lot of it in today because I wanted to discuss my championship opportunities, you know, because Vic is Mr. FSP.
Oh,
so
boy.
We're going to talk about that. But tomorrow, JT's going to give you some more information on stardom sit-ums and maybe a few sneaky picks. I don't know. But JT's going to be holding it down tomorrow. Again, Kim Fun is doing her Buddhist monk thing and climbing Mount Everest, and she'll be out at least until the end of January, so we won't have Compassion Bikini for the month of January. But on Thursday, we'll have the crew show, Jeff, Black, and Jerry doing what they do. There are no more Thursday night games, so it'll be interesting what they'll talk about. Maybe they'll bring some more guests on. We'll see what happens. Friday, we got Matt, I Ain't Black, Williams, Jerry, I'm a Uncle Tom.
Oh, I can't believe you went there. I cannot believe you went there.
My cousin wants to chime in with his Uncle Ruckusness on No Chaser. Had me cursing and all discombobulated yesterday with the wife. You know. But that's okay. That's okay. That's every Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then that brings you here you know, on Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Fantasy Sports and Politics. That's what we do for you. I appreciate you. Check us out on the archive live. And thanks to Fantasy Sports Channel for carrying our programming. We're into overtime right about now. It's going to be really brief, but I want to promo those shows. But real quick, about 10 minutes worth, I want to talk about Manny Pacquiao. I was waiting for my cousin to call in, but he didn't, so I'll give you my 2 cents on it. I think Manny Pacquiao had an issue with his stamina and things of that nature, and I think it's time for him to part ways with Freddie Roach. It's unfortunate because his fighters have lost the last 4 fights of him. So I think it's time to get a more modern coach. I like Freddie Roach. I just think it's time for Pac to move away from him or retire. His wife wants him to retire. I think he should. If he can't handle the punching power of Marquez, I don't think he'll be able to handle the punching power of Floyd. Now, granted, that was their 4th fight.
Right. Yeah, and the 4th fight, and other than one fight, I think he should have lost the other two. One was a draw, and the other two, from what I understand, he should have lost, but they gave those fights to Pacquiao. So I felt this fight was retribution and payback for all the other fights that should have gone to the guy who finally knocked his ass out cold, he should retire. I think there's no way he's going to fight Mayweather. Mayweather don't want no parts of him for the simple fact is he's not the draw that he was before. He's not.
Well,
he's lost that luster. He's lost that luster from that cold, ice cold knockout he just consumed.
Okay, well, we don't need to talk about it anymore. That's
more. Well, you tell me I'm wrong. Tell me he lost his luster. He got knocked out cold. Cold.
He didn't lose his luster. He just lost.
He got knocked out.
Whatever. He did. I will say this. He doesn't. A fight between he and Mayweather just got devalued.
Exactly. I just told you that. Lost his luster.
Whatever. So, you know, he's 33, 34 years old. I think he needs to go ahead and either focus on the government of the Philippines or the only fight he has left is Mayweather and take, you know, either a 50-50 or 60-40 split. Because, he's still a draw, but he's not going to be, the money isn't going to be on him now. The money's going to be solely on Mayweather. You know, before, it was a toss-up. People could say 50-50, you know.
You say it was a toss-up.
It was 1-1.
In your opinion.
Now it's more like 6-1.
In your opinion.
My opinion is the only one that matters. So, with that being said, I've had enough of money, Mayweather and Pacquiao. We'll discuss it when it comes up. Anything else you want to part with, young man?
All I have to say is this. There's a movie I really like. It's an older movie. Played back in 1970, whatever it is, late 70s, early 80s. Late 70s, I think it was. Starter movie was Leon Isaac Kennedy. Name of the movie is Penitentiary.
Oh, my God.
And we're talking to the remake of the character of Leon Kennedy.
I don't know what Jerry was talking about. Jerry just happened to fall off the face of the earth. I have no idea. I mean, he must learn not to speak of these terrible things. We'll see what he does now.
Am I able to talk now?
Oh, I remember how you was meeting me yesterday, fool. I was getting meeting left and right yesterday.
Am I able to talk now?
Yes, you are.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, you mother. For those that don't know, a while ago I was doing my NWO thing where it was, if you follow wrestling, you know about NWO 2 Sweet. And Jerry has taken it to a totally different level. He and his homophobic tendencies. So, you know.
Don't believe that. Don't believe that.
So, you know, I'm going to let him have his fun. He's old. He belongs in, you know, the old folks home with Blanche and Dorothy's mom. He belongs on Golden Girls. So I'll leave him alone. I'll let him have his fun. Are you finished? Can we finish the show, please?
Go right ahead, too, sweet. It's your show.
Whatever, old guy. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's. Happy Hanukkah. Feliz Navidad. Porque año Feliz Navidad. I don't know, Kwanzaa and any other holiday things that go on now during this year. Wish you and yours the very best.
Same to you, man.
I believe we have one more show before the new year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, so, next week.
Yeah, so we're going to get one more in for the year. I don't know if we want to do a recap or we want to do just fantasy and discuss.
We'll do a recap.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
We can do a recap mixed with fantasy football implications and stuff like
okay.
that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We'll do that. And I'll let you listen to all the shows and pull up all the ones you want to pull up, and I'll pull up some of the ones I want to pull up. And I'll probably edit them together and see what happens with that. We'll go through predictions and, you know, stuff like that.
Okay.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mr. FSP. I'm going to let JT take you out before I hit my music.
No problem. Since I'm the one taking this out for the last show before Christmas, I want to wish everyone a very happy holidays. Have a safe holiday and enjoy your family. It's one of the best times of the year to get together and enjoy the family. With that being said, from Vic and I, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking Fantasy Sports and Politics.